in having a speaker on our subject of can mankind live half slave and half free, because he, being the son of the late great Wendell Willkie, must of necessity have freedom in his heart and must know how it should be obtained. Mr. Willkie is, in addition to his interests in Freedom House, he is also on the Board of Foreign Scholarships. That is a board appointed by the President, which governs, for lack of a better word, the so-called Fulbright scholarships. Those scholarships are, we believe, one of the most potent things that the government of the United States has ever done to spread the idea of freedom in the world. Mr. Willkie has been a member of the House of Representatives in the state of Indiana. I do not want to disparage our own representatives, but he made a record in the House, and possibly if we could transplant him to Piatt County, we might be able to break the Champaign County monopoly on the members of our local House of Representatives. And if we did that, it might be he could get our Route 105 paved. That, of course, can't happen, but I think it would if we could get him over. Willkie is a lawyer. He's a lawyer from a small city, Rushville, Indiana, and he, I am sure, thinks both as a member of a community of a small city and as a member of a great city of New York, where he spent some time. It's with a great deal of pleasure that I now present to you the Honorable Philip K. Willkie of Indiana.
Thank you very much, Mr. Wilson, for that kind introduction. I'm most happy to be here in Bement today at this Bement Centennial Observation, and I'm happy to come at the invitation of Mr. Carlton Smith, who is doing such a great job of bringing people to this community and drawing attention to the great issue of the world today between slavery and freedom. He's to be congratulated for his efforts, and also I understand the great work that's being done here in establishing a museum of arts. This community is certainly fortunate in having such a citizen. 97 years ago, less a month, Abraham Lincoln made a great speech just a few miles from here in Springfield, a speech which led to his nomination for the Senate from Illinois, had much to do with his nomination for the presidency, a speech which was true then in the framework and the context of that time and is true today. He said, "A house divided against itself cannot stand. I believe this government cannot endure permanently half slave and half free. I do not expect the house to fall, but I do expect it will cease to be divided. It will become all one thing or all the other. That was true in 1858. That's still true in 1955. In 1858, the issue was restricted to the United States of America. It involved the question of human freedom, and particularly it concerned the fact as to whether the federal government had the power to put restrictions upon the boundaries of human slavery. That issue was resolved. That issue was resolved finally by the bitterest war this country has ever known. More men gave their lives in the war between the states than gave their lives in World War I, World War II, and Korea put together. And it was at a time that we had 1/6 as many people in this country as we have today. Few people living today realized what a horrible Holocaust that was. The issue is now translated into a larger framework. The issue is today translated into a world framework. But the world is a smaller world today than the United States was in Lincoln's time. It takes less time to fly from Moscow to Beaumont today than it took then to go from Beaumont to Springfield. Distances have become meaningless. But the issues which disturb men's minds are permanent. Today, we find the great challenge to human freedom in the conspiracy of communism and its power in Russia and in China. Then we knew the attack on freedom in this country by those people who were determined to perpetuate the institution of human slavery within the United States. In the great battle in which we are now engaged, the United States is playing the most important role that it has ever played in its history. We, because of our great productive power, and it's only productive men that can be strong men and strong men who can be free men, are the trustees of the whole heritage of freedom, of the freedom of civilization upon this earth. The wisdom with which we exercise that freedom will have much to do with the determination of the course of future human history. I believe that we in America today are living in historic times. And perhaps when the history of events is written, they will be much regarded as much more historic than was the time of Lincoln, because the issues are larger and the results, whatever they may be, will be more final. Lincoln said, "One side or the other will prevail." That's true today. Finally, freedom will prevail or slavery will prevail. Just as Lincoln believed that the Union could not fall, we too today believe that freedom cannot fall. Freedom has been strengthened in America in the year of 1954 and 1955. By four great historic events. These events have not been completely understood today, as no historic event is ever completely understood at the time that it has taken place. There are probably many of you in this audience who are not completely sympathetic with the results of some of these events. But I believe 10 years from now and 25 years from now, looking back at this period, most men will agree that they were great events. Those four events, in my opinion, are number one, the decision of the United States Supreme Court to end segregation in the schools of this country. Number two, the vote, and I know this is one in which there are people here that may not agree with it, but I still believe it, the decision of the United States Senate to pass the resolution censoring Senator McCarthy. Number three, the discovery of Salk vaccine to abolish polio. Number four, the pact between the United Automobile Workers and the Ford Motor Company and the General Motors Company to set up a program of guaranteed annual wages. Those four events, I believe, have been a great strengthening to the bulwark of the freedom of America and to the power of America to exercise its ability of freedom abroad. The segregation decision of the United States Supreme Court was the final chapter in the story, so much of which was written here in Central Illinois by Abraham Lincoln. That decision finally guaranteed that all men of this country were created free and equal without discrimination on account of race, religion, or color. That was the issue on which Lincoln became famous, and that was the issue on which he fought the Civil War. Its final enactment came today. But one of the greatest things about that decision to me was that it was a bipartisan decision. The members of the court, Democrats and Republicans, voted unanimously. And in the implementation decree which came down this year, it was again a bipartisan and a unanimous decision. It took upon itself, became a national decision. Now, the question of Senator McCarthy is not as well understood, perhaps, as some of the other things that have happened. But Mr. McCarthy had become a symbol to millions of people around the world as a force in this country determined to destroy freedom. Because we've had a reputation that any man in this country could stand up and say what he believed regardless of anything else. And McCarthy seemed to be an attack upon the right of the individual to believe as he pleased. That censure vote brought a great restoral of the prestige of the United States around the world, and you'd have to travel beyond our borders to realize that that meant more than many, many battleships and many, many bombs in making men respect us everywhere. The third event, the discovery of Salk vaccine, and I realize that at the moment there have been some difficulties in bringing about the application of it, but still it was a great effort, climaxed by a final discovery, and with a short period of months it will be available to everybody, was a great demonstration that human science in this country was meant for the benefit of mankind and not, as in the case of the atom bomb, for the destruction of civilization. It ended, or I believe it's the beginning of the end, of one of the scourges of modern civilization, the disease of infantile paralysis. The pact between the United Automobile Workers and the great motor companies was another historic landmark. as the segregation decision presented us as true to our principles everywhere, as the censure vote brought dignity to our political institutions, and polio demonstrated, the polio vaccine demonstrated our great interest in science for the benefit of mankind. So the pact between the great motor companies and the great labor unions was a demonstration that our enterprise system of competitive capitalism was so productive that it could produce benefits for all men working, and that the scourge of unemployment was not a curse. That did not come about through legislation. That did not come about through any doctrinaire preaching. That came about by negotiations in the free enterprise spirit. It was done not by government, but by private individuals. It showed that the enterprise system productively working today can do far more for the average working man than any system otherwise devised of socialism or governmentism or statism in any other state. Together, these four historic landmarks have demonstrated to the world that the American people know how to live with themselves. Democracy is no mockery here. It's a great functioning fact. We are a great nation which gives every man the chance he deserves to live and achieve as best he has within his abilities, but which at the same time eliminates the worst scourges of civilization known.